Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1120. This is your host, Danny Pena, all the way live from Los Angeles, and also joining me for this episode of Gamertag Radio, we have Pete. What Pete up? Rock, all the way from Europe.
What's up, Pete?
Up,
everybody. How you doing?
Wow. Wow.
I got energy, bro.
You sound excited.
I mean, come on.
What time is it?
It's 6:30 in the afternoon.
I mean,
So, yeah, I've been up for a little bit, so I got to bring in a little energy because you're still like half asleep over there on the West Coast.
Yo, dude, I woke up. I mean, I woke up early. I woke up like 2 hours ago, but it's early in the morning. You know, I'm starting my day. It's been a crazy, crazy weekend. By the way, later this week, Paris. Let's say Pete.
Jesus, that's it. I'm out. Bye.
It's the peace. Yo, Pete, later this week, I'm taking my second shot. This week, man. I'm a little bit nervous because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to be okay, if I'm going to be just in bed all day. So, because I have like so much stuff I have to do next week, man. So,
yeah, it's that whole shot thing. I've said this to, you know, everybody that I've spoken to about it. Like when I got my single shot.
Yeah.
I didn't have any side effects, you know, thankfully, right? I was the lucky few that didn't get it. But, you know, it almost feels like every other person that I've spoken to that has gotten either the single dose or they've gotten their second shot or their first shot has had the reaction. So it's, I don't know if maybe they're just like, and I know this is not what's happening, but it's what it feels like. It's like they've, like every other shot is like the sugar shot, right? You get the it's not a proxy shot. It's the, I can't remember what it's called. Placebo, but it's just the way that your body reacts normally to the vaccine shot. And, you know, I was blessed that I didn't get it. You know, good luck to you. That should be interesting.
Yes. Finger crossed. I'll post updates. if anything happens, you know, but I'll be okay. I'll be fine. All right. Head over to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You also could find us on any podcast app. Just search for GTR, Gamertag Radio. We're there. Subscribe. Follow us, post a review, and if you can, share with your friends. All right. And if you would like to be part of our family discussion, which I love to do every single week, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete, so we have a couple topics here. Which one you would like to start?
Let's just go in order.
All right. So I do have a question for you because, you know, I know you and Paris are very into the, you know, PC and the specs and all this stuff. So there's been this controversy about the PlayStation 5 clock battery. When it dies, kills your ability to play like the games. Mm-hmm. I know this has been the talk now for like the past 24 hours or so. I'm a little bit confused about all this, so I need for you to explain to me about the CMOS battery, please. You gotta explain to me about this. I just play games. I'm not this techie guy like you guys, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
but so, there's people like me that doesn't really understand about this.
It's totally fine. So the CMOS, yes, as it's normally known, and this is how I learned it early 2000s when I first started down, actually late 90s when I started my first, you know, my first trip down tech. And essentially what it is, it's basically an internal battery that retains the settings for your computer, most notably in this case, time and date, right? Mm-hmm. And so what's happening is, and it happens with most computers, and ordinarily, if you have a technical issue with your computer, what you normally do is just pull the battery out of your motherboard. It looks like a little watch battery. It literally looks like it is a watch battery. It's, you know, really, really small. You pull it out for about 10, 15 seconds and you put it right back into your motherboard, and it essentially resets your computer back to zero from a motherboard perspective. So any overclock or undervolting or overvolting that you may have done or any customizations essentially get wiped out. So in this case, the PS5 uses this date and time function to coordinate with the PlayStation servers to identify whether your trophies are legitimate or not, right? Because it says, okay, you played the game on date X, but on date Y, your CMOS showed a different date. Okay, you've been trying to hack your machine. We're going to invalidate your trophies. But in this case, it's actually tied to the validity of you being able to play digital games. So if your CMOS goes out, and for most computers, this little battery is usually good for about a good 5 or 6 years. So it's not like something that ordinarily goes out. We've never seen an issue like this come up, whether it's whether it be on PC or so on. But in this case, it's essentially tied to Sony's gaming architecture. And if it goes out, you're unable to play your digitally purchased games. Physical games seems okay, right? Because it doesn't require that check back to the Sony infrastructure. But in this case, it's actually digital games. So if you've bought something and you downloaded it, or something, you know, or yeah, I guess essentially if you bought it and you downloaded it, or you have it on USB and you transferred it to your machine, it won't work. Unfortunately, the only way to get it back is either through PlayStations themselves or to use hacks, which essentially is counter to what Sony is trying to do with their device. And then at the end of the day, it translates that Sony's position on video game preservation is basically vastly different than what we see Microsoft doing with its backwards compatibility and Game Pass. Further, it actually aligns itself similarly to what Nintendo has been doing with every single one of their consoles, whether it be the mobile or it's been, you know, the Wii, all of their stuff. If you want it from like two generations ago, you got to buy it again, right? And me personally, I don't think that's right. I think if you have the disc and you can put it in the machine and play it, you should be able to do it regardless of what the platform or what the manufacturer is doing. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Man, I know, because I was like, you know, doing some research last night and I started watching some videos online of other content creators that I follow on YouTube. And there was one that was saying that for the PlayStation 3, for that battery, let's say that runs out, you could still play your physical games if you buy it, right?
Correct.
With this one, the PlayStation 5, you can't really play anything, not even the physical ones. So it's kind of like messed up. And I know people also brought up, does the Xbox Series X and S, does it have it too in there? Because I haven't really been looking around for that.
If you think about it in the grand scheme of things, if you look at it from like 50,000 feet, your Xbox is essentially a computer. And this has been going on, especially since like the original Xbox One Microwave, where it's running what's called a virtual server. It's using physical hardware, but to run virtual instances of applications which allow you to play your games. So it's Xbox has always been a super stripped down version of a Windows PC running inside your console anyways. In this instance, there is a CMOS in your machine. There's likely, if we did a teardown on the Nintendo Switch, I'm pretty sure I could find you a CMOS. Now, if that's a physical watch battery style, the way PlayStation, Xbox, and PC commonly has it, or if it's just like a little capacitor sitting in the corner, it's probably there. So I wouldn't be surprised if something like this impacted an Xbox or a Switch or whatever, but it's not to the extent. Whereas if I'm playing on my PC and I want to do some overvolting or overclocking on my machine, and I pull the CMOS battery and I put it back in, as long as I get back to my operating system, I can go back and do whatever I need to do. If I need, even if it means allowing me to download my video game back to my system. I shouldn't have to because it's stored on the physical hard drive. But essentially here, something within the PlayStation 5 doesn't enable it. You know, once that CMOS dies, you're useless. You've essentially bricked your machine, and you'll likely have to call Sony support and have them fix it. Whether it'll cost you anything to repair it, or whether Sony will own up to it and pay for it on their own dime, that's a different situation. But I mean, it is this is definitely something that's concerning. Especially now, imagine put yourself in the person's shoes that tested this and effectively bricked their PlayStation 5. You can't go out and just go to the store and buy one to replace it. You now have a paperweight in your house. So now it's like, what do you do?
Now my question to you, Pete, is it possible for either company, Sony or Microsoft, can they fix this either through an update or if there's a new console design in the future? You think that will help?
I'm sure they can do something. I'm saying this trying not to be pessimistic about it. I'm hoping that there's some kind of a code in the base operating system that's preventing this from being able to play digital games. Remember, you're still able to play your physical games, so that's not really the big concern. It's whether you could play digital games or not. And now, as we've seen, all of the platforms start to go towards a digital only or discless format. Yeah, it's going to make things a little more difficult, but I think they should be able to. But I don't think this is something that is console related. I think it might be a combination of console and backend infrastructure, a different way to validate your game files against the hardware to make sure that your trophies and your digital content are legitimate.
Yeah, yeah. It is kind of concerning, man, because, you know, I play a lot of old games, you know, more than you in Paris. You know, you guys like to play like the most recent stuff, but dude, I like to go old school, man, play really, really old games. So, you know, this is very concerning, man. And I hope Sony at least like post a comment or something about this, you know, release a press release about it, you know, or do an interview to see, because there's people that are like kind of nervous about this, man. You know what I'm saying? So,
It's not something that it's not something that is just going to happen out of the blue. You literally have to pull the CMOS out for this to do this. Yes, we've gotten to the point where now the common layperson or the common consumer knows that they can just watch a video and go through the steps of, you know, pulling a hard drive and replacing it or whatever. But I don't think it's something that can be done just through the course of normal gameplay, right? You have to literally open it up or let your battery drain completely to the point where the CMOS dies out. That could be hours, that could be days, it could be weeks, it could be months. I don't think it's been out long enough for you to test it, considering machines don't really sit on shelves long enough for the CMOS battery to die. Ordinarily, there's no settings when you bought it off the shelf anyways on there outside of the base installation. And once you log in, it starts to charge the CMOS and all your settings get saved within the battery itself. So I don't think it's something that you're going to see a high count of occurrences, but it is something that you have to keep an eye out for, right? The ones that will discover it are the tinkerers, are the hackers, and I don't want to say hackers as in a malicious term, is people that tend to open their devices up and get in there. Like back in the day, you used to be able to swap out your hard drive to give you more storage space, et cetera. Things like that. Yeah, those people might be impacted, whether they short it or they pull it because they want to reset their settings. That may be the precursor to how they find out, oh, wait, now I don't have access to my digital library anymore.
I know Paris is watching the live stream. He says, tell Danny to stop talking for me and telling me what I like to play. First of all, I'm the captain right now, Paris. You're not here. So next time when you're here, we could definitely talk and debate about this. So there you go.
If you felt so strongly about this, maybe you would come on the show.
It's all good. Hey, man, look, I like to play old games, man. Like I like to play my retro games. You know, I still have my couple old consoles here, you know, but Yeah, man. No, well, look, for those who are listening or watching, please send us your thoughts about all this. Send us an email, fanmail@gamertagradio.com, or send us a voicemail, and we'll definitely play it on the podcast, man. So there you go. All right, so let's see what we have here. Second topic here. All right, P. So MLB The Show 21. Are you a baseball fan at all, or
I am neither a baseball fan nor do I play baseball video games. So this is the segment of the episode where I check out. And
Wait, Pete, we've been to the Marlins game together years ago. I think we went. This is when we did. You didn't remember this?
I remember this,
dude. That was an amazing night. You didn't remember this at all?
No, I do. I do. It's actually the time that we went. I think it was 2008.
Yes, something like this. Yes, it was like around.
It's also home to one of my favorite pictures of all time. It's me and my wife. I'll go to the baseball game because it's more enjoyable for me as a sports fan in general to watch it live, but I can't sit there. And watch TV. I can't watch baseball on TV. It's boring.
I'm not saying I'm like a hardcore, you know, sports guy. Like I'm a casual sports guy. Like I'll watch, you know, and I'll talk to you guys like once in a while about that stuff. But MLB, let me tell you, as someone that grew up playing baseball, like in Dominican Republic and New York, I haven't played a baseball game since like maybe PlayStation 3, Xbox 360 days. This is when MLB The Show was available there. And also, remember the 2K series, Pete, back in the days? Like, even 2K was doing a baseball game.
It's funny that I say this about baseball because one of my first early memories of sports games was playing baseball on the Atari with my cousin on PC. Oh, man,
I remember that one.
With the cassette tape to load your game. So this is, you know, early 80s that we would play it on an old Apple or an old IBM. So.
For me, I used to play that one. I remember the one that I really got addicted to baseball was Baseball Stars for the NES, where you could create like your team. You could fire people, rehire, like assign people to join your team and everything. But dude, that was like the best. I love Baseball Stars. Classic game. So now MLB The Show, this is the first time that it's available on Xbox, which, yo, it was so strange turning my console on once I downloaded the game and they show the PlayStation logo. I was like, yo, I've never thought in a million years I would ever see that. You know what I'm saying? But the game is a lot of fun, man. Look, this is not the full review, because I really want to sit down and talk to Paris because he also has the game. But I've been playing a lot of the Road to the Show. I created my own character, Danny Pena from Dominican Republic, number 77. There you go. I'm a two-way position guy. Like I could either pitch or play out of the field. But I'm just working on my character right now. I'm in the minor leagues and I'm trying to go to like the major leagues after a while. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to get the Marlins to sign me up here, man. You know what I'm saying? So that's a lot of fun. And actually, the past few days, I've been going online to just play random. So I play already like multiple games. And I know the one thing that Paris would mention to me, that there was like a lot of lag. So I was a little bit worried about that. And so far, the games that I played, there was no lag. I was playing fine. There was one game that was a little bit laggy, I think. But then it got better throughout, like after a while. And that was a lot of fun, man. Now, the one that I truly, truly want people to play when they get this game is a Home Run Derby. Mm-hmm. That one's a lot of fun. You get like multiple people there, crossplay. It could be PlayStation players and Xbox players, and you're trying to get as much points as possible. It could either be home runs or it could be just by hits, etc. So you only have a certain amount of you only get like three outs. Once you get three outs, that's it. You're done. But once you get a certain amount within, let's say, 2 minutes or so, then you go to the next round and then the next round. And there will be like only two people left and only one will win the whole thing. So that's a lot of fun. Yeah, that's what I've been doing. Last night I played with my brother online. We play all the way to like close to like 9 innings because originally we put only 6 innings and we were tied for a long time. And then at the end I hit a home run and boom, I was like, yes, I was screaming and jumping all everywhere, man. It was a lot of fun, a lot of fun. I love the commentary. I know there's a way where you could change it to like the MLB The Show commentary presentation or MLB Network presentation. That's the one that I picked. And what I want to do, because I know I'm so curious about this, and I haven't done this in this very, very long time, is I want to create my own league so GTR listeners could join, and it'll be like only like maybe 5 or 6 innings. We'll keep it short. Not a lot of people are going to have time to play all the way to like 9. And just let's just play. You know, probably we'll get like between 5 to 10 people to be part of the league, and we'll go from there, man. You know, like I really want to do that. So anybody that would like to join, please hit me up on Discord or Twitter or email me, Danny@GamertagRadio.com. And yeah, I'll invite you to be part of the league. I'm probably going to create it once the standard version comes out later this week because it's going to be available on Game Pass, you know. So it's a lot of fun, man. Look, man, if you have Game Pass, go for it. Like, definitely get this game. If you love baseball and you haven't played baseball in a long time, I think you should definitely get it, man. Like, I haven't played a baseball game for a very long time, and I just love everything that you could do in the game. And there's a lot of people that have been asking me online, is it too technical? Is it very confusing, the controls? Look, you could change the way how you play. What I did, because I haven't played MLB The Show in a long time, I changed it to like the casual controls and difficulty because I want to get used to everything. And then slowly, I'm going to change the difficulty. Like last night, we put it the hardest difficulty when we're playing online, my brother and I, because I just want to see like how it is. And it was fine. It was a lot of fun, man, overall, man. Great experience, man.
So,
you know, so.
Quick question. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I know you were talking about you played with Nano and you can play with multiple people. Can you have everybody on your team playing individually? Like, let's say we fired up a game and I'm on first base, you're on second, Paris is at shortstop. And
you can't do that.
You can do that or you can't do that?
No, it's 1-1. It's 1-1. The only time that where you could play multiple people is like home run derby, like stuff like that. You know, like okay. the other version is like one versus one type thing. Yeah, it's not like Madden and the other games. You can have like multiple people in there. Unless there is, please tell me, guys, because I haven't seen it. You know, but yeah, that's how the way I've been playing online is just one versus one. You know, now if we have a league, now we're gonna have multiple people in that league, and you know, it'll be let's say this week will be you versus Paris, I'll just say, or me versus Nano, and then it's like a schedule, and then at the end, they'll round up the ones that has like the best wins during the short season that we have, and we'll go from there. Go to the playoffs and then to the World Series, et cetera.
Like that reminds me of something I did for us years ago with Madden, where we had community teams, right? So it was like us versus Sarcastic Gamer versus like five or I think it was I forgot. There's so many, you know, we had so many like community sites that were like picked different teams, and we literally ran a league, a Madden league through the season, right? Based on obviously, you know, the season that was going and the predetermined schedules. But, you know, everybody in the league essentially picked one team and we played each other throughout the season. It's kind of difficult to do that because, you know, you're relying on people around the country to be synced up on a schedule, but it was a lot of fun, you know, and it sounds like that's something that you guys are being able to do, that you guys are trying to do over on the Discord server. And it sounds like fun.
Yeah. I want to do that. Like I get it. That's why I wanted to make it shorter. I don't want to have like 50 people in the league or anything like that. Like I want to have a small group. I put it maybe like what, 6 innings, 5 innings, you know, and we'll do that. I think that's fine. You know, and look, we create the league. We'll start, and everybody just got to stay in touch on like when they're available to play, you know. So the reason I want to do this, because look, this game is coming out on Xbox Game Pass on Tuesday, so that's going to be a lot of people that haven't played baseball in so long that are going to play MLB for the first time, or now they're going back to play baseball, you know. And I think this would be cool to do it, man, you know. And I would like to do more of that. That's like another way to engage like with the community and everything, man, you know what I'm saying? So I know there was one more thing. Oh, so I don't even remember this, but I had this conversation with Paris the other day. Back in the days, I remember the first time I joined the league, it was through Xbox. They had NFL Fever and Lynx back in the early days. It was called XSN, Xbox Sports Network. Do you remember that, Pete? They were the ones actually they created a league where you could create your own leagues and everything. There's like a website, everything. Yeah, that's how I started playing online with leagues back in the days. And then 2K did it, and then EA Sports did it too after. This is like really old school, original Xbox days.
Oh, wow.
Like really, really early. Yeah, yeah. XSN. Look, we have a couple people that are watching the stream that say, yep, that's old school, man. Only old school heads know about that. It's very, very old school. So look, highly recommended. Make sure to copy. And by the way, Pete, when you start the game, they have Slam from, remember, Onyx?
Oh, Slam.
Da, da, da. That's the first one. First nice. Track you listen to in there. It has a great soundtrack. It has Run the Jewels. It's really, really dope. And they have like some Latino reggaeton stuff in there too. You know what I'm saying? So highly recommended, man. Highly that's recommended. Dope. All right. Next topic, Pete. We're both fans of Timefall. Both huge fans of Timefall, part one and part two. Apex Legends season 9, I believe, is coming out very, very soon. The developers have been teasing now for the past few weeks that there's some Titanfall-related stuff coming to the season, man, for Apex. That has never happened. Remember when Apex Legends came out years ago, we thought that you could also, you know, call your Titan and be part of the Battle Royale. That's never happened. But I think something is coming, Pete. Something is coming with Titanfall, and I'm excited because, yo, I love Titanfall so much. Titanfall 2, by far, it has one of the best first-person shooters campaign that I have played in years. And I hope to God that Respawn, they're working on Titanfall 3, because, man, a lot of people slept on that game, man. And it's cheaper now. You can buy it for really, really cheap on any console or on PC, you know. But what are your thoughts about this? Like, and what do you think they could do if there is some Titanfall related stuff in Apex season 9? What is the things that you would like to see?
So in the last few weeks, I've gotten back into playing a lot of Apex with friends, right? Friends online, mm-hmm. friends and, you know, members of our GTR community. And so it's good to get back into that high, you know, that fast paced frenetic gameplay that Apex is known for. Right. But on this latest one, you know, there's a glimpse into what the new season nine map is going to look like. And some folks in the, whether they're players or they're fans, are kind of upset that it's not a full World's Edge update that people were expecting. Mm-hmm. Since we just got a King's Canyon update in season 8, following the releases of Olympus in season 7. But the big news, though, in my personal opinion, I don't know, it may be counter to what you think. The big mm-hmm. news, though, is the tease of the new legend that's coming to Apex. I know what you were referring to was potentially seeing Blisk come back, right? But what it seems like more, because if you saw the latest news post from Respawn, which was their 100 million players post, which is in and of itself, it's pretty remarkable, right? To have 100 million players in your game 3-4 years ago was not what we were expecting. It's not what we thought about when Respawn surprised us with Apex, right? But the big news is similar to the way they teased Revenant in season 8 for the trailer for Shadowfall, I think it was. Data miners last month, they uncovered what you were talking about, potentially a return of Blisk from Titanfall 2, who was the bad guy, right? His ultimate, what you're referring to, is supposed to be called Prepare for Titanfall, where you actually bring down a Titan into the game. You can't jump into it, but it uses it kind of like an area of effect type attack. But as you mentioned, it does contradict what Respawn devs had said in the past about bringing Titans into Apex. So that is kind of confusing. But based on the imagery that Respawn posted this past week, we think, you know, the prevailing consensus now is that it's going to be Valkyrie, or Valk for short. We originally saw Valk, I think it was in season 2, there was a tease for Valk coming out, which is a character that kind of looks like a cross between a Gundam and Aaron from Attack of the Titans, which kind of, if you think about Attack of the Titans, I don't know if that's going to actually happen. There's also a quote from the director, the game director for Respawn, Chad Grenier, that states, "We're thrilled to bring Apex to all Switch players in Japan," which is huge. "I love Japan, and it's a country where people play Apex a lot. I hope we can deliver unique content for Japan." And here's the note. He says, "I mentioned a little about Season 9, but the legend in Season 9, I hope, will be liked in Japan." And that's why, you know, a character that looks something that comes out of a Gundam mobile suit type character, I think it really fits that motif for, you know, for the Japanese fans. So that seems like a lot of, that seems pretty exciting to me, right? I'm curious to see what that character's gameplay is going to be like, what the meta is. Also, there's another thing that they uncovered, thanks to BS, he goes by Blast 12. He's a data miner for Apex, but it's a new 3v3 mode called Arena. So that's going to be super. Mm-hmm. You can actually see it now, but you have to go through and get like spray paints, like graffiti pop-ups, and you have to do things in a specific order. And you can actually call down a ship, ordinarily which would be like the ship that shows up when you either respawn your friends in the game, or like when you play Titanfall and you had to get back to the ship to blink out. You actually jump into the ship. It blinks out and you actually go and you take an elevator up and you can hear gunshots in the background. There's a trailer out on YouTube, not an official trailer, but it's what he was able to pull from the files. And you actually, it leads right up to when it goes up and you come up over the edge. You're supposed to see the arena, and it's a 3v3 tournament similar to like Trials in Destiny, which looks and sounds spectacular because it takes it away from what everybody expects Apex to be, and it's supposed to be a permanent addition to Apex, not just something that's going to be like a limited time, you know, map that people get to play for a certain period of time, like the war zone situation going on now in Apex. But it sounds pretty fun, man. A 3v3 in a smaller setting for Apex, as fast paced and as frenetic as it can be. It sounds like a lot of fun.
That sounds really, really fun. And another thing too, yesterday evening there was a Apex Legends developer that posted, he tweeted this, and this is like a major, major tease. He was like, "Psst, take some time this weekend to play through Titanfall 2 in case you haven't yet." And then he wrote, "Just saying, wink." Huh. Something is up, man.
But see, here's something the thing. I played it on Xbox. Now it makes me think I need to go back and play it on PC just to see if maybe there's something that I got to pick up.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna play Titanfall 2 either tonight or tomorrow.
Still one of the greatest levels in single player video game history, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, it was so crazy, man. So yeah, for those who are listening and watching, once again, what are your predictions? What are your thoughts? Do you think it's gonna be something big, something small? Is it just a new character? Let us know. Email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Today's show is sponsored by a brand new sponsor, Strong VPN. After 20 years in network engineering and IT, it's always best to have a reliable VPN provider. And that's where Strong VPN comes in handy. VPNs help you safely browse the internet, whether you're watching a Twitch stream, playing games, or spending way too much time on social media. With Strong VPN, your connection is encrypted. That's important because it means that no one else can spy on what you're doing. You can use a Strong VPN on your computers, tablets, smart devices, and even install it on your router to protect every device in your household. And the best news, Strong VPN uses the latest generation VPN technology called WireGuard, which means it doesn't slow down your connection like other VPNs. For listeners of GTR, Strong VPN is offering an incredible 65% off. That's just $3.50 for the first month or $27.99 for the year. And what do you get for that? You get apps for iOS, Android, macOS, and Windows, access to 950 plus VPN servers around the world, none of which log your information, and more than 59,000 anonymous IP addresses at your disposal, protecting your personal privacy. So go to strongvpn.com/GTR and claim your 65% savings. So get started with this limited time offer and save 65% off monthly and annual subscriptions just by visiting strongvpn.com/GTR. That's strongvpn.com/GTR to save 65%.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
So I have one more topic before we read the email. This one just came in like a few minutes ago because I just saw it. So I haven't watched the whole video yet, but there was an interview where this happened because the whole Bloomberg article that came out last week talking about like how Sony is focusing more on the blockbuster hits and so on. Days Gone 2, it's not happening. So there was been a lot of people talking about this online. So Dave Jaffe, I think his name is, he worked on Twisted Metal and a bunch of other games. So he invited the developer of Days Gone, actually the director of Days Gone, onto his podcast, a video stream, and they had a conversation. And one of the things that the director said was like, look, man, if you love a game, buy it at effing full price. I haven't read the whole quote, but this is what people have been talking about, where it seems that a lot of people was excited about the game, but they didn't buy the game. They just waited until the price went down, and that's when a lot more people have been supporting the game after that, right? But here's the thing, man. Things have been changing lately. People have been really, really picky on buying a game $60 or $70. You know, if the game is buggy, why would I buy a game full price if it's not 100% there yet? You know, for example, Cyberpunk 2077, that game was extremely buggy when it came out. You know, yes, we got review copies, but as a person that just loved games, I think I would have not bought the game if I'm hearing from everybody having a bad experience and everything. I'd rather just wait until the game is fully, like, at least patched up and it's good for me to play, you know, because I don't want to have that experience that is just so buggy that I just can't play the game. It's too much for me, man, you know. Now, here's another thing that I want to bring up. This is where Game Pass comes into it, and also PlayStation Now. If these games were available day one to both of those services, I think more people will try it out, and the game, I think personally, will be a huge success if that happens, right? But you know, from the Sony side, Sony's not going to do that at all, adding their first party games on like a service like PlayStation Now on day one. Maybe they will in the future if people start giving them feedback that they would like to see that. Maybe that will happen. But for example, Outriders was getting okay reviews overall, right? But the game became a huge success because Game Pass and people are talking about it, and more people are actually buying it because they're having fun, you know. So I don't know. Let's see what's gonna happen with this, man. Because I wanna see like what's gonna happen next if Sony plans to ever release a game of like part two of Days Gone in the future or not. But what are your thoughts about all this, Pete? Because I want to hear from you, man, about this.
So understand that this director, John Garvin is his name. He left Bend Studios 2 years ago. So his frustration has already played out, and he feels like he has the license to be able to speak untethered, you know, unhindered by responsibilities of working for a studio. That said, I take umbrage in the fact that how do you buy a game if you've never played it? Or to take his quote directly, if you love a game, buy it at effing full price. Mm-hmm. Well, if it's an unproven brand new IP, how or why should I be willing to spend full price on a game without knowing how it's going to perform? Because like you mentioned, we saw what happened with Cyberpunk and that whole debacle. We as the consumer have the right to hold out on purchases in the event an instance like this, because there was concerns, and I can't comment or you know, confirm or deny this because I didn't play it. But from everything I've read, the game was a buggy mess at launch, right?
Yes.
So that, on top of it being a brand new unproven IP, why should I spend full price? And this is just a microcosm of a much larger issue of games coming out that are unpatched or unready for human consumption, right? They're not fully patched. They're not ready for prime time in the first place because everything relies on a day one patch almost these days. But why should I pay full price? We as consumers have been burnt way too many times in the past for games coming out in the exact same condition that this game came out. So why should I pay $60, $70 on day one for this game? Mind you, not everybody has the luxury or the ability to be able to throw $60, $70 on a brand new title day one. What gives him the right to tell us that we should? Right. I think that's a little foul in my personal opinion. So I mean, and granted, it did great in Japan and he got pretty decent reviews here. So, and we talked about this last week as well, right? The fact that the game did well enough to warrant, it did well enough financially and critically to warrant a potential sequel, but Sony decided, we're not going to do that. Now, whether that's more so because they didn't want to risk, they didn't want to risk the investment on a sequel that could potentially not live up to the first title, to the original game. So they didn't want to risk that, but for him to come out and say this, it's unsettling. It's a nerd. I don't like that. I mean, how do you tell a gamer to or consumer to just buy it if you love it? No, prove to me that you could put out a quality product that's not going to be buggy when I first buy it. Because A, not everybody's got a superior internet or amazing internet that they can download that 2 gig patch to fix something that your studio wasn't able to. Because apparently, like many games, it plays well now, but a lot of people had problems with it at launch. Give me a title from a new studio or from a new IP that we know is going to be amazing day one and that doesn't require this type of a patch, and then we'll be okay with that. But if you can't give me that day one, why should I drop $60, $70 on it? Give me a reason.
Yeah.
Give me a reason to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right here it says, I'm going to continue with the quote. He says, look, I can't tell you how many times I've seen gamers say, yeah, I got that on sale. I got it through PlayStation Plus, whatever. So yeah, he's not happy about that at all. So he says also, he continues saying, I'm just saying don't complain if a game doesn't get a sequel if it wasn't supported at launch. I mean, I get that he's really frustrated about this, man. You know, he's really pissed off about all this stuff, you know. But it's like you said, Pete, if the game is buggy, like why people are going to actually pay $70 if the game is not buggy at all, man, you know. And another thing he wrote, he says, I think the uptick in engagement with the game is not as important as did you buy the game at full price? Because if you did, then that's supporting the developers directly.
Now,
so I get from both sides, Pete.
And I'm all for supporting the devs day one, you know, giving them the max amount. But at the same time, you got to give me something that's going to inspire loyalty day one. How do you do that? It's near impossible for, we'll take little Johnny because we love little Johnny here at Gamer Talk Radio. Right,
little Johnny.
How does little Johnny warrant spending 70 hard-earned dollars on a game from Ben Studios? Not to say that Ben Studios is a bad, is a bad studio. They've given us some good quality stuff in the past. But how do we know that a brand new IP is going to be worth my $60, $70? You know how many lawns little Johnny had to mow? How many cars he had to wash? To stack together $70 to play this game that may or may not be good on day one. If the option was given to you and it was that or Ghost of Tsushima, where would you have gone?
For me, I'll go Ghost, and I'll tell you why.
And is that based on prior to sale or based on the reviews that you saw after the game launched?
Well, I don't read reviews. I'm more of like, I go based on my friends and people right. that I follow in content creation. If they're giving great feedback about that game, and they're like, yo, you got to play it. It's really good.
But would you have bought
it? Then I'll go and play it. Yeah. Ghost of Tsushima, yes. Yes.
But like, let's go back to what you said. You just said based on the responses from friends and others in the community.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. You would have bought it.
Not reviews. Based on not that. Reviews
right.
from media
no, I'm not saying based on reviews or whatever. I'm just saying based on friends in the community, people that you know who you have a common, you know, respect for, who you mm-hmm. you follow and or you have a kindling with them, right? Like that you could say, I trust what they say. But mm-hmm. day one, I would not have thrown dollars at either of those titles because I didn't know. Did I have FOMO after launch that, you know, Ghost of Tsushima was damn near game of the year almost for almost every publication or every media site. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you go based on that, and who goes and pays full price on day one? Come on. If you're not looking for the deal, you're a damn fool.
Yeah.
If I can't find $5 off here or there somewhere, I'm just throwing away money on purpose. So come on. Mm-hmm. Let's be realistic. And I get it. He's got a personal bias. He's got a personal investment on a title that he spent countless hours, days, weeks, months developing. I get that. And I'm not trying to discount his personal investment in that. And I totally support him for wanting to do more, do better, get more, get better for the developers. But at the same time, you have to look at it from the consumer's perspective as well.
See, for me, like when I bought the PlayStation 4, I got it a couple months after launch, right? Because I just couldn't find it. And when I purchased that console, and here's the main reason why I purchased it, was because I wanted to play Infamous Second Son. Did it got like great reviews like on like media sites? No, but based on people that I know from the community that got the game early, and I'm also a fan of the previous game too. I was like, man, I'm buying this. This is like day one for me. You know what I'm saying? So it's not everybody's gonna be in the same page as me. Like when it comes to that stuff, everybody's gonna have like different opinions and different reasons why they would buy a game. But I just loved it. You know, now. I also have to bring this up, Pete, like, and we'll take it back to E3. I was there recording interviews for the show and everything, and you came up to me. You're like, Danny, you have to play this game. You have to play this game. You have to meet the developer that's there, too. I'm like, what is this about? You didn't mention it. So when I got there, you said, yo, check out HyperDot. I was like, okay, well, listen. Then you're explaining to me about the music and this and this and that. Dude, that game is phenomenal, man. Phenomenal game. You know, is it a AAA game? No. But based on your excitement and your like the way how you were explaining, like, yo, dude, it's amazing. You got to play. It's a dope experience. That got me excited. So when the game came out, it came out on Xbox Game Pass. I would have even purchased this because when I played the game at E3, I fell in love with it, man. I was like, yo, this is dope. This is dope. So that to me is like the way how I'll buy the game. If I see someone in the community that's really excited and they played it, and not only one person, I would like to get like multiple feedback from everybody, you know, that's when I decide to buy the game based on that. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, you were the one that convinced me to get HyperDot because of your excitement with the game and playing it at E3. You know what I'm saying? So, but see, that's an example right there of that, man. Like, you know, if you get me excited about a game, I'm going to go and buy it, man. Now, if I hear people saying, yo, the game is okay, but it's buggy, I'll wait until you said, like you were saying, Pete, when the price is right, then I'll go and I'll buy it, you know? So, hey, man, we can't afford every single game for $60-$70, man. It's really, really tough, man. You know, now, again, there's services that will allow me to at least try it out, and I'll make my decision based on that, too. If, let's say, I don't have PlayStation Now, but if these games are available there and I'm part of the service, I could try it out there for the first time, man. And I'll decide if I want to buy or not. I have Game Pass, and I purchased games that were on Game Pass, and it was removed. And because I like it so much, I purchased the game, you know. But I supported when it was on Game Pass, too. You know, so... Anything else, Pete, from this topic, or you want to move on to the last one?
I think we can move forward.
Okay, let's move forward. All right, so we have one email here because we have a couple that we already answered those questions. No, but it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Okay, shout out to Eric B. He sent us this email. He's from all the way from Michigan. Shout out to him, man. All right, he says, I just started listening to GTR this year, and I really enjoy your commentary on the gaming community. My question, there has been a lot of hype about returning IPs for this generation, Xbox Series X, PlayStation 5, etc. Do you think there is room for a brand new IP to become potential flagship games for Xbox and Sony? Or will be the established titles like Halo, Gears, The Last of Us, God of War still dominate as the face of these platforms? Pete, what you think, man? Do you think this in this generation for both consoles, do you think we're going to see a new IP that is going to be in that level of like The Last of Us and Halo, God of War, Gears? Or do you think they're still going to depend on the usual games that we've been playing throughout the years?
I think there is a possibility. We didn't think that. We thought that, you know, the platforms were going to rely on their old trusted, you know, on their old trusted, you know, titles. You know, look at Horizon Zero Dawn. Aloy has become a new face for Sony. Why not? Why not, you know, why not, you know, give credence to the developers to think that, yeah, they can create a brand new face for the platform. And I definitely think there can be. Will there be now? Because, you know, every single title has now been, you know, every single platform now has that bar raised. Now Sony has to come up with the new, you know, what's going to be the new Aloy, or who's going to be the new Aloy, right? Is it going to be a new, you know, we just saw... We don't know if we're going to get a new sequel for Days Gone, so we don't know if that's going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen.
but is there a chance? Is there an opportunity for it? Absolutely. Will there be? Who knows? Because those are generational type games. Those are generational type experiences that we get that we don't, you know, that it's a high bar to establish. Like, the bar is so high now with all of these, you know. How do you, for the Sony side, how do you come up with a new, you know, Kratos or a new Aloy, right? If you're from the Xbox side, how do you bring out a new Master Chief? It's not even, I don't even know if it's generational, because generations, you know, from a console or video game experience could be, you know, going from the Xbox One to Series X to whatever, but that's, It's more so than that. It's bigger than that. It's much larger than just a single generation hardware-wise, right? We haven't seen another character like Master Chief in Microsoft. I mean, yeah, I love Ori, but Ori is not Master Chief. Master Chief is, like, if you think of Xbox, you think of Master Chief. You think of, you think of the Gears of War cast, right? If you look at it from the PlayStation side, you think of, you know, Nathan Fillion's character in Uncharted. You think of, you know, Ellie in The Last of Us. You think of Kratos. You think of Aloy. But those weren't every year. You know, those came after a long period of time of development. So I would love to see it, but whether it actually happens now, I mean, it's going to be difficult. I would love to see it, but... We need to see the games that come out.
More than ever. Look, even from the PlayStation side, you mentioned Horizon, Ghost of Tsushima. You know, those are new IPs that were very successful IPs. I could see that happening from the PlayStation side. And even more on the Xbox side, because there's now so many studios that is now part of Xbox Studios now, that we're going to see a lot of big, big IPs. And especially now that have Xbox Game Pass, a lot of these companies are not like focused on the retail way and we have to make a certain game to make that money. I think we're going to see a lot of new IPs that it might be in that level too, man. Like the Halos and Gears, you know. Even now with Bethesda now being part of Xbox Series, we're going to see a lot more IPs, dude. I could definitely see that. Definitely see that. But I'm also convinced that PlayStation is going to do the same exact thing, man. You know, it's good to take risks. You can't only depend on just The Last of Us, The God of War, which is a great IPs, but I want to see the next, you know, the next game is like Horizon, and Ghost of Tsushima, etc. You know, yeah, it didn't work for Days Gone. Look, there's going to be titles that's going to be big and some that it's not, but it's good for companies to take risk, man, and see what works and what doesn't work for the studios. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I think when it comes to that. So
No. I totally agree. I mean, there was a time where I thought Cole McGrath was going to be another face for PlayStation, and you know, the main character from Infamous. And it didn't happen, right? It's a game that disappeared, and I loved Infamous. I loved the way the gameplay, etc. But you know, that IP disappeared. Will we ever see another one? I would love for Sony to bring back Infamous. I'd love to see that happen, right? Infamous 1 and 2 were fantastic. Second Light, or was it? Yeah, it was Second Light, right?
Yeah, Second Light, yeah. Yeah.
That was good, but it wasn't.
Wait, Second Light, was it the Second Son?
Second Son, sorry. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, there you go. Got me confused there.
Yeah. But I mean, they just got Aloy as their new face for PlayStation. Microsoft definitely needs to do that. Maybe Senua could be that new face for Xbox and Ninja Theory, right? So, you know, getting another game from them. Maybe that it might be a little dark for Microsoft. I don't know how you make that the face of your platform, right? You know, Marcus Fenix, you know, Dom, shout out to Carlos Ferro, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Master Chief, Cortana. How do you, a character that you develop and you create and you bring out, that's the bar with which you have to step up to, right? You and it's not just step up to, but you have to sit there and you have to have longevity. You have to be able to show and prove that, hey, I could be here for titles, not just title 1 or maybe 2, but I need to be there for titles 3, 4, and 5, right? That's what you have to step up and keep up. You have to keep that pressure on and say, yeah, we're going to be here for the long haul. So yeah, I want to see both. I would love to see brand new titles or brand new titular characters from these developers or from these platforms. But it's a lot. I would love to see it, but whether it's a damn good question, you know.
Yeah, it is really good. Really good.
Shout out to Eric. I'd love to see it, but I mean, again, how do you do that? I mean, you have so much to set forth on. So
yeah, you know what? I would love to see also something like that for Nintendo. Nintendo been there. I think they are the ones that will release games. Of course, you see the Marios and all that stuff. Like that's, I get it. You see those games all the time on the platform, but they also been releasing in the past games that become of that level of like Mario and Zelda, etc. You know, look at Pikmin. I remember when the first time I heard of Pikmin, I was like, what the hell is this, man? I was super confused, but it became huge, you know? And another game like F-Zero, Star Fox back in the days, you know, it became of that level too, man. You know, so I can see that in the future, man, of also from the Nintendo side. Because you know what it is with Nintendo fans? They will buy that day one. If it's made by Nintendo first party, they will buy that ASAP, right away.
Do you think Bayonetta has become the new one of the new faces for them?
Yes and no. I don't know. I feel like
Or she's like B level. Because I mean Mario, Yoshi, you know, Donkey Kong. I don't play Breath of the Wild and Zelda, whatever, but Zelda, you know, Samus. Do you stand up to those five? Is Bayonetta there? No, I don't think so.
No, it's not. Bayonetta's not there. I mean, if you're into that type of game, you're gonna love Bayonetta, you know, but not that level. No way. I think Pikmin, you could put it up there.
Really though? Pokemon for sure. Like Pikachu up there. Pikachu goes up there. I think Pikachu's thinking, up there on number 6.
That's a great question. Let me see. I'm thinking who what else from Nintendo that is new that went then it's like gotten to that type of level?
That's the thing. Nintendo relies so much on its vast history that it's difficult for them to come up with a brand new character that can stand up. How do you stand up? How powerful, how big does your character have to be to stand next to Mario? I mean, hell, we'll just stick to the Mario verse, right? You got Mario, Luigi, you got Bowser, you got the princess. How do you stand up to that? That's your bar that you need to stand up to and be side by side. Give me another character outside of the ones that we named, not just the Mario, but the other titles that we named.
Mm-hmm.
Give me another character.
I'll tell you two. And shout out to the chat. They're watching this right now. Splatoon is one that's really up there. That's a really popular game too for Nintendo. And yo, let's take Animal Crossing back in the days, dude. When that came out, that's the game that sold the most right now for the Switch ever in the history of Nintendo Switch. Not even Mario has surpassed that right now for this Tom generation.
Nook. So you think Tom Nook can stand up and be side by side to Mario and Donkey Kong?
Yes.
And
now,
Samus?
Yes. Now, yes. Dude. Hey, it's all about the numbers, Pete. It's all about the numbers. It's all about the numbers. Look it up.
I don't know.
Look it up.
I don't know.
Anybody that's watching this, please let me know because look.
So let's say you were to take a random group of 10 people and you threw Tom Nook up on the TV screen and said, name this character.
People, I think the majority will know what Tom Nook is, man. Because I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Of course, everybody knows Mario.
I had to look his name up to remember what Tom Nook's name was. I knew Mario off the top of my head. Peach off the top of my head.
Pete, I get it. Mario is iconic. It's like Sonic, you know, like everybody knows Sonic, right?
Exactly. But don't get me wrong. You're gonna put Tom Nook up against Sonic?
No, but here's the thing.
I'm gonna fight you.
I'm talking about the game Animal Crossing. It's up there. Dude, that game sold the most for the Nintendo Switch. There's no other game that surpassed that. No other game. The closest, Mario Kart. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. That's like the closest one that I can think of. Don't sleep on Animal Crossing, man. I'm telling you.
I own the game, so I'm not sleeping on it. It took my life, it took part of my life, especially during the pandemic.
Yo, dude.
But to say Tom Nook can stand side by side at the same level as
I think so, man.
Donkey Kong?
I think so. It's up there, man.
I don't know, bro.
I think so, man. And let me tell you, Tom Nook is I think he's part of like a mafia or something, man. You know? Stealing, taking all this money. No, you're sleeping. All right. It's all good. We agree to disagree.
I agree you're wrong.
All right. I'm just saying. Look, for those who are listening, let us know your thoughts about all this. fanmail@gamertagradio.com, please. Or send us a voicemail because I personally think Animal Crossing is in that level, man. For out of all new IPs that came out later from Nintendo, yo, Animal Crossing is up there, dude. It's really up there. More than Pikmin, more than all those games that came out throughout the year.
Okay. You could put Tom Nook against Pikachu.
The what?
Tom Nook versus Pikachu.
Yo, Pete, yes, I'll put it up there.
You crazy.
Why not? Look, there's more sales, lifetime sales of Pokemon.
No.
But don't sleep on Animal Crossing. You're sleeping on it.
Way.
You're sleeping on it, man.
I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. You're wrong. You're wrong.
All right. Hey, I'll put it up there. You know what? I don't care. I'll put it up there.
I'm putting this up on Twitter right now, dude.
Put it up there. I don't care what anybody says. I'll put it up there. Hey, chat, anybody, whoever's listening, who agrees with me? Because I feel like Pete is like, nah, man. No, it's Pokemon and Mario. That's it. Yo, Animal Crossing should be up there, yo. Up there. Big time. Don't sleep on it, man. Look at the numbers. Numbers don't lie. Look it up. All right, we're going to wrap this up right now. We're going to get to the after show here on Twitch. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to episode 1120 here, Gamertag Radio. Remember, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamer Tag Radio. Subscribe, follow us, post a review. It'll help us out. And also share with your friends, man. And look, this conversation, share this conversation with your friends and let them know that Danny is right. Let them know. All right. If you disagree with me and agree with Pete, here's how you can contact us and be part of fan mail.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so everyone, thank you for listening. We'll be back on the next episode of Gamer Tag Radio. We're going to continue with this conversation. I want to hear this from Paris too, man. His thoughts about all this. Pete is still nodding, saying nope, 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 nope. All right, we're going to wrap it up here.
Thanks for listening. Until next time, we're out. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.